This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. 216-474-0092. Obviously, a huge weekend. You've got the Guardians now. I mean, we're not at the weekend yet, but wrapping up with the Red Sox today. Although Thursday is the weekend. I think at Kent State we learned that Thursday is when the weekend officially started. But
explains your C-plus average.
Well, let's see. Thanks, Jeff. You're really nice. I wonder how it was at Ohio State for Tom Withers. Because it's not news until Tom Withers says so. And, of course, you know Tom. Is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So many things to talk about, my friend. How are you?
Hello, Tom.
Hang on a second.
Weeks where the weekend never ended at Ohio State.
It never ended, right? The weekend started on Monday at Ohio State in Columbus.
There was always somebody either on the dorm floor or in the fraternity house that had just finished up a big test and was looking to go out and managed to drag me along half the time. So anyway.
And despite that, you've had a fine career, Tom. Well done.
Is it true?
So to speak. Thank you.
You were the reason they put the ropes up on High Street back in the day. Is that true?
God, High Street, man. I've gone back there a couple times in recent years. It doesn't look anything the same.
No.
All those bars on South Campus are gone. It's amazing and anybody who either went to school there or has kids down there or whatever now, it's amazing the transformation that campus has made over the last 20 years or so. It's just incredible.
Or pseudo thought they went there because they were at Kent State and they were down there every weekend.
Same. I could say the same from folks from Miami, Ohio,
yes.
U, BG, everybody. Yeah, all good.
All right, we could talk about me and Mr. Mustards all day long, but let's move into what's going on right now. First, let's start with the NBA. We'll start with the Cavaliers. They're up 2-0 in the series. Jeff and I have said it numerous times over the last couple of days. This is the kind of, other than maybe the third quarters, this is the kind of Cavalier basketball I think we've been waiting to watch all season long.
Yeah, except it's been a bit of a rock fight, hasn't it? I mean, you'd like to see a little bit of fluidity and flow in the games, and there hasn't been that, which is kind of what I expected, to be honest, guys. You know, two defensive-minded teams, two defensive-minded coaches. I think we all waited to see what Donovan Mitchell was going to look like, and he's looked good so far. You know, it seems like he's got that burst. He's got that lift back in his game. He's moved really well. I think it was pretty obvious that a week off really helped him a lot, and then you didn't see him maybe move as well in game two as he did in game one because he didn't have the recovery time. So that's one thing. You know, I think from a Cavs standpoint, you've got to be really pleased with the fact that they've come out and they've played tough, right? We've spent the last year talking about, you know, the softness and how they got beaten up by the Knicks last year. And Jared Allen has been an absolute force in these first two games. And I think from the Cavs standpoint, you know, they haven't played very well, but they haven't had to just because the Magic have shot it so poorly. So I expect them to go home where the rims are a little kinder and the noise is on their side. And I expect the Magic to play much better tonight.
Tom, I'm with you on that. I have enjoyed the balance offensively by the Cavaliers, not just scoring, but shot distribution as well. Does that sit well with everybody? Does that work? You know, like Donovan was out in the third quarter in game two and Darius stepped up, did a really nice job. I just thought everybody complimented each other the way that we wanted to see it happen all season long, on a regular basis anyway.
Yeah, I'll give you that, Jeff. I think what was difficult in game two, like it felt like they were trying to manage the lead in the second half, right? And I think it put Darius in that situation where And I know, you know, fans complain about it, and rightfully so to a degree, where he's kind of dribbling around and there doesn't seem to be very much of a, you know, of a, you know, commitment, what have you, on offense. And I felt like the Cavs should have, if they had just kept moving the ball and, you know, and sharing it and what have you, that they win that game, you know, going away by 18 to 20 points. And that didn't happen. And I think what was scary, I think from a Cleveland fan standpoint, was that in both games, Jeff, you know, down the stretch in the fourth quarter, the Magic had whittled those leads down to single digits. And there's been two occasions where they had wide open looks at threes from the corner and they missed them both. Otherwise, that turns into a 6-point game in both games with about 3 minutes to go. And then you're dealing with, you know, a bad call, a turnover, you know, what have you, from really being in a game. So listen, they took care of business at home. I still think this is going to be a long series, Jeff. And Andy, I thought it would go 6 or 7 at the start. I still feel that way. I think it's going to be really imperative for the Magic to get back in it, to get Banchero going, you know, like he needs to. I mean, he, you know, is obviously a young player, first time through the playoff experience, and there's something to be said for that. But he's got a 30-plus point game in him, and I think that's the dangerous thing for the Cavs, is that, you know, they haven't played particularly well, but the Magic have been horrendous through two games.
It's been strange to watch them shoot so poorly, Tom, and I can't give the Cavs defense all the credit for that. It's been good, but it's not been that good. The Magic have just been bad. Offensively for the Cavs, the one thing I think is interesting, their averages in the playoffs, Darius is down a little bit, like 4 points a game. But other than that, the two big guys are basically averaging what they averaged during the regular season. It just feels like it's all been incorporated a little bit better in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I think the balance has been really good there. I think it was important for Evan Mobley to feel a couple of those shots, you know, go down. And my goodness, you know, he hits 2 threes, I think, in the first 3 possessions of the series. So that was both good and bad, because you can kind of fall into a false sense of security with that. But I've liked his aggressiveness, Jeff. I like the way that Mobley's grabbing the ball and being assertive, especially when, you know, the Magic have been caught in some really bad switches where you've got Cole Anthony on Mobley, and at least the Cavs and Evan have recognized that, hey, get him the ball and let him go to work. And so that's been good. You know, I think the bench will – listen, we talk a lot about Caris LeVert and what he brings to this team. And there's nights where you're not sure what you're going to get, and there's also the potential for Caris to go off for 28 to 34 points. And I think that is still there as well. I think you've also seen, you know, those little intangibles that both George Niang and Max Strus bring to this team, right? Strus comes up with 9 rebounds in game 1, gives you all those kind of extra effort plays. And I think that's been good from a Cavs standpoint as well, guys, is that, you know, they're winning these 50-50 balls. They're getting down on the floor. They're doing the things that they need to do that they didn't do a year ago against the Knicks. And I think that bodes them well going forward in this series and beyond.
Tom, I know we talk about this time of year every year about the physical play that we see in the playoffs. Like it. I've heard a lot of people complain, though, like, hey, why don't they call, you know, why don't they let them play during the regular season? Why do they suddenly let them play during the playoff? I love playoff basketball.
I do, just, too. You know? Yeah, I'm with you. It's actually a different game, isn't it, guys? I mean, really is. It's officiated entirely differently. And I know, you know, I think the casual NBA fan has a really hard time with that, where I think – those of us that have been watching the game for decades, in this case, really like the physicality of it and the fact that they're not going to blow the whistle when something really egregious or an advantage is gained by one side or the other. So, you know, I've been okay with it so far. I think it's going to be that physical and more tonight down in Orlando. I think we got to really keep a close eye on those beloved Wagner brothers and what they're going to bring to the floor tonight, because – you know, those guys know that, you know, they're going to need to get their teammates fired up. They're going to need to get that fan base fired up. And that's a really good, by the way, that's a good home court. Anybody that plays in the league or travels through the league will tell you that Orlando's a tough place to play. And it's indicative in the fact that the Magic went 29-12 during the regular season. So the Cavs got their hands full down there tonight.
The one thing that strikes me, Tom, and we'll move on to the NFL draft, whenever in the arena they put up the M for Michigan with the Wagner brothers, I always think, what's Caris LeVert think? Poor Caris. Hey, wait a minute. NFL draft tonight. You expect anything that you're going to be writing saying the Browns stunned somebody?
No, No, I don't. In fact, I think it tells you all you need to know is that the Browns told us to stay away from Berea tonight, much like they're doing for the second year in a row. I think, you know, they'll gather there, obviously, but we'll be monitoring it on television. Listen, the Browns just don't have the assets right now to make a move, to move themselves, you know, unless they're going to, you know, suddenly trade your starting quarterback and do something really radical, but we're not at that point. And so, yeah, I don't expect anything to happen tonight. Obviously, they're locked in for the moment with the number 54 pick tomorrow night. You know, some interesting possibilities there. You know, I think they're going to look for, in my mind, I think they're going to look for either a wide receiver or a tight end at that spot. You know, I think people forget that, you know, Harrison Bryant is no longer on this roster. I think we all remember how much Kevin Stefanski values that position. So that's one that I have circled for tomorrow night at 54.
Ah, these drafts, man. I can't wait till we get back in the first. I mean, I can wait till we get back in the first round because I hope that it's a late first round pick when we start looking at things next year.
Yeah, it's, you know, Andy, you're right. I mean, it's indicative of where this team is at right now, right? I mean, mm-hmm. they made the boldest move arguably in franchise history a couple of years ago, and you had to give up all those picks to be in the spot you're in. And I think the frustrating, you know, the frustrating part of that is, Andy, is that it has just not come to fruition to this point, right? For a lot of reasons. You know, we've only seen Deshaun Watson on the field for 12 games. Everybody is kind of, you know, lighting their candles to make sure that their shoulder is going to heal up and he's going to be what was promised when they made this big move. So I don't know. I had enough years where the Browns were picking in the top 10 or the top five or whatever. This is kind of this has been a nice change here over the last couple of years from a selfish standpoint.
Tom Withers joining us from the Associated Press. Tom, in listening to Andrew Berry, in listening mm-hmm. to Kevin Stefanski, listening to Deshaun, you hear everybody kind of say, yep, on schedule, and nobody's saying he's good for week one yet. We understand that. We hear with Nick Chubb, boy, he's working hard and everything else, and we hope Nick's and you hear all that. If in your gut, what's more likely? Who's more likely, I guess the better way to put it, to be ready week one, and who's more likely to play more games this year?
Well, I think, you know, obviously I think Deshaun is, you know, much further along in his recovery from a surgery that was not nearly as – Nick had two surgeries last summer, right? So, you know, he's a ways away. I do think we'll see him on the field at some point this year, Jeff, but I don't think it's going to be any time before, you know, let's say mid-November, December, and, you know, and Nick Chubb is, you know, not human in many regards in terms of like his physical stature and what he's able to do. So I'll put no limitations on Nick Chubb. As far as Deshaun is concerned, you know, we have not seen him throw yet. We haven't even seen videos of him throwing yet. No. So we don't know exactly what he's able to do from a physical limitation standpoint. I think it's going to be, we're going to hit these milestone markers coming up though, you know, next month with OTAs. And then as we go further ahead, I thought it was interesting last week to hear him kind of punt the decision on whether he's going to play in the preseason already, that there's no, oh yeah, I'll be out there. It's like, well, we're going to wait and see. And I think it literally is, Jeff, a day-to-day, week-to-week reevaluation of where he's at, you know, what kind of strength, you know, they put him through every possible test that there is to see how that shoulder is reacting to stress or what have you. And then let's be honest, guys, the bottom line is he's going to have to go out there on the field at some point and take a big hit, and everybody's going to hold their breath and see how he comes out of it. So, and then I think what's going to be interesting also, guys, going forward is how is he going to adapt his game now? Is he going to be able to get out and run like he used to, you know, knowing that the next big hit could be, a bad one. So lots of things to look at. You know, we've got – the good thing is that we've got weeks, if not months, to get this all sorted out.
I give Andrew Berry a lot of credit, Tom, because I think he made two signings. The Jameis Winston signing mm-hmm. obviously attracted some attention. I think Jameis still has really good football ahead of him, and I have always been a Deontay Foreman fan, a guy who has had to fight for everything he's had in the league. I like that signing, and I think even if Nick is unable to do a lot this year, I kind of like the running back group.
Totally agree, Jeff. I thought that was, you know, he's a guy that's always intrigued me, right? He's that kind of back that you watched and said, boy, he'd be a nice fit here. And now he is here. And I think you're right, Jeff. That is indicative maybe of, you know, where Nick is at and what, you know, what this team feels like it needs to have before Chubb gets back on the field. So Yeah, and a couple of years ago, I had a lot of people telling me that Jameis Winston would have been a perfect fit, even before they got Deshaun Watson. It was a guy that seemed to still have something in him. Obviously we've only had a little time with him, but what I've heard from everybody and everywhere he's been is what a great locker room guy he is, and that's no different than we heard about Jacoby Brissett, right? But I think there's a little bit more high-end football in Jameis at this point. And I think the Huntley signing too was intriguing to me as well, Jeff. Another guy who, we've seen on the field play against the Browns here and play well. And a guy that, if nothing else, when you have him in that quarterback room, is going to be able to replicate some of these other, out of the pocket type players, against your scout team and against your defense and what have you. So, they did a lot of things to that quarterback room. And again, I think that's, if any team learned last year that, just like you can never have enough pitching, you can never have enough quarterbacks in this league, especially what the Browns went through last year.
Tom, knowing your college football background, I'd love to ask you this question. How do you think NIL and that extra year because of the pandemic is not – I don't know that it's going to affect today or tomorrow, but I do think that the Browns have enough picks that will be affected by the impact of NIL and the extra year of college football. I'm really interested to see what these last couple
rounds look like. The transfer portal as well. I think there's a huge conversation there. And, I was going to ask that last week, and I think Zach Jackson beat me to the punch in asking Andrew about that, just in terms of even how they view these kids – Andy, that have had that extra year in school, and the kids that don't transfer. And Andrew was interesting in when he said, you look at a kid and go, well, why didn't he transfer? If he wanted a chance to play, he's got the opportunity, unlike, players before him ever had that chance.
So, I thought that was a great answer from him the other day, just because he would look at those. You could probably read the room better, but, I almost could see him looking at these kids that were transferring, looking at those kids like they had a third eye, like, what's wrong with this kid? And now it's like, why don't you?
Yeah, we could do a 17-day show on how, NIL has impacted college football, and then in turn, how that rolls forward into the NFL world. So, there's a lot there. But, it is interesting. It's interesting now how teams are evaluating these kids in terms of character and, in terms of both their on-field and off-field production in this world of NIL, which I still don't have a good grasp on. In fact, I still can't believe we're kind of dealing with the wild, wild west on this. And there doesn't seem to be any regulations or any restrictions, and anybody can kind of go out in this free enterprise system and get what they want. So it's a little bit dangerous and a bit of a slippery slope still.
Tom, last thing, I'm curious to see what teams make moves for quarterbacks tonight. And to me, this thing screams buyer beware on some of these guys. Because there's going to be some high prices paid to move up in the draft to get a quarterback.
Yeah, and boy, aren't you glad that the Browns aren't in that position anymore, right,
yeah,
Jeff?
Yes.
At least for the time being, right? So, yeah, I'm with you. And it's really tough to evaluate these kids more now so than ever. And especially – I think, guys, what we've seen, look at how much the game has changed in the last 5 years, let alone the last 15, right? What kind of quarterbacks are successful anymore? Well, we've seen the wide range of that. We've seen the wide range of that right here in Cleveland. So it's tougher than ever, Jeff. I think I feel bad for some of those franchises that have been, like the Browns were for the better part of two decades, kind of always chasing after that carrot and trying to figure out what's going to work. And, it feels like sometimes – what works in Buffalo doesn't work in Cleveland, and what works in Cleveland doesn't work in Houston, and vice versa. So, it's tough. It's it's not easy to evaluate these kids. I think the good thing is that for those teams that are really, really hurting for a quarterback right now, there's some really good ones at the top of this board, much like it seems like there always are.
Tom, as always, we appreciate you, and it's not news until Tom Withers says so. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Thomas.
Have a good day, guys. Enjoy. See you.
Thank you. He's Tom Withers from the Associated Press, and, of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Talk a little bit about what he had to say. We'll do a little NFL rapid fire. We got a lot of good, cool stuff coming up, including Daryl Ryder at noon. Let's do it 2020.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
NFL Draft starts tonight. Browns tomorrow. Round number 254 scheduled to be their first pick, so we've got a lot to talk about when it comes to the NFL. Let's rapid fire. Here's Mac Robinson.
All right, guys. Got a lot going on. Obviously, like you mentioned, draft coming up tonight. One of the big questions that's been going around is the quarterbacks. Obviously, Caleb Williams seemingly locked into number one. Seems like Jaden Daniels locked into two. But Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, the other names that have been floated around, Michael Penix as well. But the big talk has been the trade up for a quarterback, whether it's J.J. McCarthy or Drake May. The question I have for you guys is, who is going to be the team that trades up for the quarterback? Is it Denver Broncos? Is it Minnesota Vikings? Even the Giants.
I would be surprised if it's the Giants. I've seen that in some mock drafts. They have Daniel Jones under contract for one more year at big money. Then they can get out of the big money. I just don't think the Giants are going to be that team. I don't think they're ready to completely give up on Daniel Jones. If you're Minnesota, I'm personally a Sam Darnold fan. If Menigan were here, he'd slap me right now. I think Sam Darnold's never really had a great opportunity, and I think he could actually still be a really good NFL quarterback. I don't know that Minnesota agrees. I think Minnesota's the team that moves up, Andy, especially since they have two number ones to deal with. Although I've read things that say they don't want to give up both number ones to move up. How they're going to pull that off, I have no idea.
I like Minnesota over Denver as far as moving up. I just don't know where their foot went on the gas pedal with Zach Wilson, right? So where are you in that situation where you had Jared Stidham sitting there, Ben DiNucci?
DiNucci is no starting quarterback.
No.
Stidham, they've said, could be the starting quarterback. I don't buy that at all. And if Zach Wilson goes out there and plays like he's capable of, this won't be a popular opinion, I think he could be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
So the question then becomes, does Sean Payton say, do I want to try to push these guys to move up and get another quarterback? Feel like maybe we can put this thing in forward and go with Zach Wilson? I don't know that that's the case. But I just don't know if it's enough to make them want to move up in the draft to pick a quarterback. Isn't that the million-dollar question?
I think they will try to move up in the draft to take a quarterback.
To get somebody who can sit for a year behind Wilson?
Maybe somebody who can
start
right now.
If you're moving up that quick right now, you want to bring somebody in at 12.
They're not going to have to move up to get a quarterback. It's how much do they like Penix or Bo Nix or maybe J.J. McCarthy. I can't imagine J.J. McCarthy sliding past the Vikings at 11. Do they have to move up to get him? Maybe from 11. And there's the question, Andy. J.J. McCarthy might get drafted higher than everybody thinks because somebody thinks in order to get him, they're going to have to jump up to get him. And whether it's Minnesota being afraid that Denver tries to trade up, don't forget the Raiders here. They're looking too. And it's interesting because those three teams pick 11, 12, and 13. Minnesota's at 11. Broncos at 12, Raiders at 13.
I mean, Penix could be sitting there at 12 and they just take him and they don't have to do anything.
Absolutely. But it's which one do you have more highly evaluated? You know, that's the point. There are six guys that could be first-round quarterbacks. what, Williams, Daniels, May, McCarthy, Penix, and Bo Nix. Interesting thing to me, only two of them played at only one college. Four of them transferred.
The other thing that's worth mentioning as well, Denver doesn't have a second-round pick this year, still due to that Russell Wilson trade.
Yeah.
But
so what would they do to move up?
Now, that's the rumor that's been
Cortland
going
around. Sutton?
Well, the rumor that's been going around has been Patrick Surtain.
Yeah.
Who is in the last year of his deal before his option. So the rumor is that Sean Payton is willing to dangle him out there to potentially trade up if they're willing to move off of him in order to jump up for one of his guys at quarterback.
I do think that either Minnesota could survive a year with Sam Darnold at quarterback and see what they might have there, and Denver could survive a year with Zach Wilson at quarterback if Sean Payton's as good of a quarterback coach as everybody says he is, and maybe they could actually develop their own franchise quarterback from somebody they have. I think it's unlikely, but I think it's possible.
Now, one of the rumors that's been going around, Daniel Jeremiah tweeted this out earlier. He said he was asked, what is the wildest top 10 rumor that he heard? And he heard that Minnesota trades up to 3 with New England from 11.
Wow. Wow.
Then New England trades up to 4 with Arizona. And then at that point, Arizona trades up to 5 to go ahead and select Marvin Harrison.
So in other words, 4 quarterbacks would come off the board.
That would be the greatest thing ever for Arizona, because they're sitting there at 4. They'll take Marvin Harrison at 4. They can sit there and take him at 5. And they get that. Like, if you're Arizona, that's a dream scenario. Move back, get the same player you want, and get picks? Oh, come on, man. That's a dream.
That's not nearly out of the realm of possibility.
But with that being said, the record for draft trades in round 1 is 9. And that would already be 3 trades in the first 5 picks. So with that being said, how many trades do you guys actually see going down tonight with the record being 9? And that happened just in 2022.
I'll go about 5, maybe 6.
I was thinking 6.
I don't think it'll be outrageous.
You know, the other part of it is every time I think there's going to be, and I don't think I'm alone, Jeff, you hopefully think the same way. Every time we sit here and we're like, oh my God, there's going to be a million picks in the first round. There's going to be a million trades going on in the first round. Like, nobody seems happy where they are, and somebody's got to try to get a quarterback, and someone's trying. And then those are the ones that are like complete duds. They'll be like, with the first pick, the Bears select Caleb Williams. With the second pick, Washington selects Jaden Daniels. With the third pick, the Patriots select Drake May. Number 4, Arizona, Marvin Harris. Like, right to what everyone thought it was going to be. That's what happens when we start thinking that there's all these trade rumors that are going to happen. So, we'll see.
Now, obviously, you talk quarterbacks, but there's a lot of really interesting prospects when it comes to wide receivers, of course. We mentioned Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers out of LSU, Romo Odunze from Washington as well, and then a plethora of offensive tackles as well in this class as well.
Plethora.
So when it comes to the non-quarterback needy teams, which team is most intriguing to you guys that you guys want to see how they kind of do tonight?
Oh, well, Jeff knows where I'm going with this. It's Arizona right away, and it's Marvin Harrison Jr. And I've sat here and told him 1,000 times, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best wide receiver in this draft. He will have a major impact in the NFL for years to come. He is ready to roll right now, probably the best receiver I've ever seen at Ohio State. He is just unbelievable. So for me, it's on Harrison, it's Arizona, if they're sitting at 4.
Interesting thing to me has been some of the talk that we've heard, and we've heard some on our show, that Harrison doesn't separate from defensive backs real well. I've thought,
that is ridiculous.
Well, that's what I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
Right? We heard it here on the show.
That's somebody trying to get him to drop a little bit lower in the draft.
Well, that might actually be the case, but I find that interesting. Team I'm really curious about is New York, because the Giants are sitting at 6 in the draft. I mean, they can go get a quarterback if they want one, or they could trade out of that pick. I think where they're sitting right now is a nice spot, except for one thing. If you want one of the top 3 quarterbacks, that's not going to get it done for you. So what do you do if you're the Giants? Do you try and move up if you really think you're going to replace Daniel Jones, which I don't think they're going to do, or if you don't think you're going to go quarterback there and go for the 4th, 5th, or 6th quarterback on the board, you're going to drop down. I think they could get an absolute haul, and they could make 2 or 3 trades themselves in the first round.
It's also been worth noting, too, that Malik Nabers has been often connected with them from LSU, and he was doing a TikTok Live yesterday, and one of his teammates was asking him, oh, are you excited to play with Kyler Murray? He has a smile on his face. Are you excited to potentially play with Caleb Williams? Smile on his face. Asked about the quarterback in New York. He shuts down his TikTok Live. That's all we got for NFL Rapid Fire.
All right, I want to dive more into the draft here. That was good stuff there. Thank you, Mike. All right, let's come back. I want to talk more about the draft, what's going on there, too, especially that the notion of the movement and, like, will we see trades before, or this are these trades going to happen right in the middle of the draft? 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Draft coverage. Well, Daryl Ryder, he'll join us at noon. He's our Browns beat reporter. Also, it's always game day in Cleveland. It's so easy to see our podcast or listen to our podcast. You can see it on YouTube. But you can listen to it. Just go to 923thefan.com. It's right there. It's right on the page immediately for you as we talk about the draft in an episode that just dropped today, too. Or you can always check it out in your podcast on the Odyssey app. So Daryl Ryder and I, it's always game day in Cleveland, and Daryl will be with us at noon. We'll get back to the Cavaliers and the NBA playoffs as they play game 3 tonight in Orlando. Sam Amico will join us at 1 o'clock. And it looks like, I'm going to say this, the Browns got beat at something in this NFL draft. Mac found
what?
Something online. Yeah, the Browns got beat really, really bad in one situation.
Yeah, L.A. Rams actually unveiled that since 2021, they haven't had their draft at the facility. When they do all their draft war room and everything like that, they do it outside the facility. This year, they unveil that their draft house is
their what?
Draft house.
Is that where you get a beer?
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
I mean, it does include a bar, so probably.
Have you seen pictures of this thing?
It is $16.5 million at Hermosa Beach. It's a mansion.
But it's not $16.5 million for the weekend.
No. No. That's the value of the house. But they converted it into a draft war room. It's 9,150 square feet. It has a game room, a lounge. It has views of the Pacific Ocean. And it has a pool, a covered bar, and patio. And again, since 2021, they have not drafted inside of their headquarters. They have been taking off-site facilities where they go ahead and have their draft war rooms at.
Okay, let me bounce a couple things off you. Give me some answers. Number one, why?
I don't think it's a bad idea.
I didn't say it was a bad idea.
I have two ideas.
Why?
Probably sponsored. Probably sponsored, right? Don't we were looking at it.
I mean, they do have a business's logo and name in blow-up pool floaties.
Yes. So probably sponsored. Probably didn't have to pay a whole lot for it.
McVay right? Going to be in the pool during the draft?
I would.
I mean, you got.
Forget when Bill Belichick once put his dog in front of the camera?
You have ocean views. Well, what if you're looking at the ocean and you miss your pick?
Well, I mean, they might. This is the first year that they've had a first round pick since Jared Goff.
This just screams Hi, we're the NFL. We make way too much money.
Wasn't it Jerry Jones that did a draft on his yacht?
Yeah, in 2020.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you?
Why would you? Good Lord, man.
Why not make it into a party? Have some fun. It's like, what do you when you do your fantasy drafts, how do you do those?
Sitting on my couch by myself on the computer.
How many times do you see people go to a restaurant or have a party at somebody's house and do that? That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
They've added the fantasy element to it. And if you get a chance, look at the house that these guys are in.
I mean, good Lord. I mean, could the NFL just flaunt it anymore? Hi, we're terribly successful. Look at us.
But if you're the Rams, why wouldn't you? It's very Hollywood, isn't it? What they're doing is very Hollywood. And they're Hollywood's team, aren't they?
Okay. I mean, there's literally palm trees in the backyard of this place.
The pool looks amazing.
Yeah.
They should make their pick from the
pool. Does that mean they're going to be going to do a better job scouting? By the way, if you're going to turn it into your draft thing, you got to rent the place for like 2 weeks, right? You got to have your whole
IT team in
there setting it all up, don't you?
They have a Rams room, don't they? The game room is like a Rams room?
They have a specific Rams room, which I don't know why. There's three lockers that are in there with like Rams gear, which I don't know why you would be, you know, rolling that
out. It's L.A. Anything goes.
Sure. And
just think, this all could have been here if the Rams would have just stayed in Cleveland. Where would they have been renting?
We had to send Bob Waterfield out to L.A.
Where would we have had it if it was here?
I think there's a fine facility in Berea.
Oh, you're just so practical. You're so practical.
Are you really
going to go down this road?
I wish I were a really rich guy and could go ahead and get an Airbnb to have the draft in. But you don't become really, really rich guys by throwing money away, do you?
No, that's why I'm telling you I'm looking
at
this.
Sponsored?
I think it's sponsored. I don't think they're paying a dime for it. Or if they are, they're
Maybe that's true.
That's the way to do it.
All right, maybe that's true.
Play the guitar on the MTV, and then all of a sudden you're on the NFL draft. Same thing. Play the draft game on the NFL Network. It's just the way I see it.
All right.
What are you doing for the draft? How are you going to do this tonight? We've got basketball tonight.
We've got the NFL draft. The Cavs to the draft during timeouts.
Mac?
I'm going to have the Cavs game on my TV, and then I'll be following along on social media because 9 times out of 10, that's where the pick gets made first anyway. But I end up, I'll probably have that fired up, and then a few friends of mine are going to hop on Zoom.
You're going to do a Zoom
call.
What
does that mean? You're going to like talk about it on Zoom?
Yeah. Just hang out.
Why wouldn't you record it and throw it back out as a podcast?
I might at that point.
I mean, everyone's their own TV star now. What's the difference?
Yeah, right.
I bet you get better ratings at some of the shows that we're going to see tonight. Especially if you swear a little bit. Oh, you're all in. Did you see those knuckleheads in Cleveland, what they were doing?
They said nasty words. That's good TV.
Yeah, I think I'm just kind of locked in. I'm locked into the Cavs tonight, and then I'll flip back over. I'll go back and forth. Do we have our choice between ESPN and NFL Network again? I think NFL Network does a nice job.
I agree.
I much prefer the NFL Network.
Yeah, I do too. It doesn't feel like it's. ESPN uses their College Game Day crew, don't they?
Not only does ESPN have ESPN, they also have ABC tonight. Two different crews.
Hmm.
They're not doing the same crew on both ABC and ESPN.
Oh, so they're doing two different. Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yep.
That's why it's much easier to go to NFL Network. I'll watch Chris.
Then there's the much more informed NFL Network.
Yeah, I'm going to say I'll probably go NFL. I will go NFL Network. There's no question. I'll be watching.
I will too.
But I do think it does make you decide. You know, I know we'll get this, picture or two TVs next to each other, or you know, guys, you can split the screen and watch this, or you can watch one on your computer and do the other. That's what you're doing. Mac is like glowing over here.
I have his ability.
Okay, so what I'm going to do. Is I'm going to watch a replay of the Guardians game on my phone, and then I will watch the Cavs game on my TV, and then I'll watch the NFL draft. I'll put that on my computer. Is that what you're going to do?
I have dual monitors on my computer at home, so I'll have the draft on one TV, has the Cavs game up.
Wall Street on the other, right?
Of course.
Even though it'll be close.
Mac is in his 20s and single, in case you were curious.
James is in East Cleveland. Hello, James.
James.
Hey. Morning, fellas.
What's up with you?
Well, you know, just driving to work. You know, I tell you what, I had a hard time finding the Cavs game.
You're breaking up, James. James, say it again. You were breaking up. You had a hard time, Cavs.
I had a hard time getting the Cavs game on TV the other night. I got a hard enough time getting the Tribe on. So I was watching some NHL playoffs. That's been pretty good. And then tonight, I'll probably have the draft on just because it's accessible. But I tell you, fellas, when the Browns ain't got an early pick, there's just no juice for me. I don't know how you guys feel, but it just doesn't have the same amount of juice when the Browns aren't picking high.
Amen, brother, man. I feel the same way. Do you know how many years we've sat behind these microphones and talked about the draft for months?
And by the way, I don't miss it. I don't miss it either. You know, and because everybody's got an opinion. We never pick the right guy, you know, or at least that's what they say. And then you get yourself excited all off season to see this guy. And then I hate to say it, but in the last 20, 25 years, how many of those guys have really, really panned out to be, you know, and there's some sure, but I'd rather have a good playoff team like we got now and worry about football during football season.
There you go. James, what position do you want? I can't give you a name. I don't know anybody in the right mind that can give you a name on who the Browns are going to take. But I can tell you positionally where I think they should be looking. What do you think?
I mean, you know, I think a lot of guys would tell you a receiver. And certainly I think with this pass-heavy attack we're going into, I think getting a receiver would be good at some point. But I really think we should invest as many picks as we can on defense, on the defensive line. And I know Andrew Berry doesn't value linebackers super highly, but get some linebackers, get some defensive linemen in there because you can never have enough of those guys. You know, it's all about having a high motor. So the fresher legs, the fresher team at the end of the game, if you're able to get just a little, get to the quarterback a little bit quicker or slow those receivers or tight ends down just a little bit more, I think you're going to be good. And I think if you look at the obviously Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, but if you look at that Chiefs team, I mean, their defensive line, 8 guys alive in the playoffs. I mean, they only scored, 17 points against Baltimore?
There you go. And that's a Schwartz kind of defense that you're explaining. I'm with you on linebacker. Like, I know people want to see them draft a wide receiver. I think that's a sexy pick if there's one there at 54.
But there will be plenty there.
Plenty of wide receivers?
Yep. I've seen mock drafts that have like 5 wide receivers going in the first round, as many as 8 in some of these mock drafts. You know, there are only 32 picks. A quarter of them would be first-round wide receivers. Some of these guys are going to slide, perhaps, and there's depth at that position. There will be a good wide receiver on the board at 54 if the Browns want to take him.
I'm rooting for all quarterbacks to go in the first round. Let's see 32 quarterbacks get drafted in the first round. That'll push everything back to the Browns for the second.
I don't know that that'll be likely.
Why not? Anything can happen, Jeff.
Let's go with that, Andy.
When you live in my fantasy land,
let's go with that.
Anything can happen. No, I still, you know, I hope that there's I want them to go defense. Like, I'm still stung by the number of points they gave up to Houston in the playoff game. I think they need help there. But I think it's all depth. It's all depth help. I don't know that you're necessarily looking at a guy, unless they have him rated as a first rounder, who they might pick at 54. That's going to have an instant. I'm not expecting any impact player, immediate impact player from the Browns throughout this draft. And maybe perhaps they'll take those 7s, they'll pair them up and try to move up, or take the 7s and, you know, throw that in with the 6 and maybe even try to move. And then you're completely done. Then you're done middays. Then are you working the draft this weekend, Mike?
I am working Friday night.
Oh, Friday night. You don't have to work Saturday.
No.
Like, the folks that are working Saturday are all like, man, I hope they get rid of those late picks so we don't have to stick around all day. Because we're talking about 6th and 7th round picks. What are you going to do there? Take a kicker?
Veteran talent. Make some trades.
Again, though, I look at those 6th and 7th round picks, and you're talking about guys that have been that have played college football, probably are going to be players that have been there for an extra year, have hit the transfer portal, and, you know, weren't guys that were looking at NIL money. That, and we're talking about seniors. You're talking about guys that are out of time in college. And I do think this is the one year that's going to affect the draft more than any other year because of COVID, because of what happened to extend these guys out another season.
I was going to say, not to mention the extra COVID year that some of these players got as well with their eligibility to extend that even further.
If you were one of those guys, I mean, like right now, if I thought I was going to be a 5th or 6th, I mean, I don't know, maybe not 5th, but a sixth or a seventh round pick, and that's where you're slated, and someone says, no, we really want you to stay at State U, and we're going to give you NIL money, how could you walk away from college at that point? I know if you, I mean, you're betting against
because
yourself.
You don't like college.
You're there to play football. You're not there for school.
Maybe you don't like your college coach.
Then you enter the transfer portal and go play somewhere else.
Maybe you don't like any college coach.
Well, then you go. Then
you don't want to actually have to go with the false narrative of going to class.
Jeff. Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. He joins us next right here. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.